Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome on. Hornets beat reporter for the Charlotte Observer, Rod Boone. Rod, welcome to the show, sir.
How you guys doing today, man?
What's up, Rod?
We're doing better than the Hornets did last night.
Yeah.
So I'll start with this. There's no professional way to ask this, Rod, but what the hell was that last night from the Charlotte Hornets?
It was just a poor effort, honestly. I mean, the first half wasn't great at all. They didn't have any energy. They just got down to, I think, 10-0, hole 12-3, something like that. And they were out of the game at that point. They never even threatened to make it a game, which was unfortunate because, you know, they've been playing so well the last, four games coming into that game without half of their team. So to see them put forth that effort in the first half, despite having one of their key players coming back in Terry Rozier, that was just numbing last night, to be honest with you. I'm not sure what happened there, but that's when you just kind of flush and go to the next one.
From my amateur eye, Rod, I hope that Kristaps Porzingis did not board the plane to San Antonio. I hope he is not waived or traded to the Spurs, because from the word go, it looked to me as if he wanted to let everybody in the purple and teal understand I'm the best player on the floor. What'd you see from Porzingis last night?
He killed it. But you know, what's funny is, you know, if you follow the Mavericks, it seemed like he does that kind of performances when Luka Doncic is not playing. So last night Luka was out, and that made it, you know, KP's team for the most part. So I guess you can see there, just they got to figure it out, those two, Luka and KP, because KP used to be played that way pretty much every time. And that also highlights issues the Hornets are having right now. Nick Richards started last night, and, you know, his first game back after missing one with an illness. And he didn't play well either. Well, JB kind of pulled him out early. Defense wasn't very good. They put P.J. Washington up in there in his place, and he didn't do, you know, that much better than Nick Richards. So, AP last night was just killing them, and the Hornets got to find a way to do things better inside so they get Mason Plumlee back at least.
Rod Boone, Hornets beat reporter for the Charlotte Observer, with Nick and Stan on the Technicom hotline, breaking down a not great night for the Charlotte Hornets in Dallas. 120-96 was the final score there, Rod. But I'm curious. We got the news today. LaMelo Ball back out of health and safety protocols. He's on his way to Greensboro to work on some conditioning here. Mason Plumlee, Jalen McDaniels already a part of Greensboro, as they also are coming off that list. Do we have a timetable on how long LaMelo and pretty much anybody else coming off the list might be in Greensboro? How long might it take for them to get back up to speed and ready to join the Hornets on the hard court?
We don't have an exact concrete answer, but from everything that I've gathered, it sounds like at least two of them could be available tomorrow, and potentially Mason Plumlee and Jalen McDaniels as well. Obviously, you have to wait to see what happens with LaMelo, because he's just kind of coming off protocol today. But from my understanding, the initial thought is to have those guys join him in San Antonio in time for tomorrow's game. Now, I'm not sure if that will include LaMelo or not. My assumption at this point, probably yes. I'm not sure why you would send just, you know, two or three guys. They're all kind of the same place right now. You got to fly commercially, I believe, which is kind of weird for those guys, I'm sure. But I think from what everything I've gathered, at least Mason McDaniels tomorrow, and at worst, get LaMelo and potentially Ish Smith back in Portland on Friday.
When you think about this, what is this, 1-2-3, this six-game road trip, in your mind, help us manage our expectations, knowing that, as you just described, the roster is in flux. How many of these games should we anticipate the Hornets win, if any?
That's a very, very good question. And if I was Nostradamus, I guess I would have the answer. But that's a tough one, because these are all very difficult opponents. To me, the only game you can go in there and say you can probably definitely win and maybe be favored is tomorrow's game against the Spurs. The Spurs are not a gimme either. Obviously, they're coached by Greg Popovich, and they'll be up to face one of their old, you know, mates in James Borrego. So that game is no gimme whatsoever. Then you go to Portland on Friday. you beat those guys on Halloween, and, you know, they're obviously trying to get back in the mix here a little bit. They're a little bit banged up, but that game is not easy. Portland's a very, very tough place to play. The Hornets haven't won there, I don't think, in years, if I'm not mistaken. And then you go after that, you go to Phoenix, which is one of the best teams in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, by the way, after that Phoenix game, the next night, on Monday, you play in Utah against the Jazz. So then you conclude that trip the 23rd of December in Denver. So, Stan, you tell me how many wins are in that trip. I don't see very many of them that are gimmies for sure. And if they get one or two, I think you pick that if you're a Hornets fan, because if 2-4 road trip with everything you've been facing, after that game last night, probably would be a win. So if you can get at least two of these wins out of these six games, maybe that makes you feel better, because the Hornets have to just pretty much just tread water until they get to this past this month. Once they get past this month of December, if a lot more home games coming up in January, February, March, they'll be a lot better off.
Rod Boone, Hornets beat reporter for the Charlotte Observer, with Nick and Stan here talking about the latest in the Charlotte Hornets. LaMelo Ball at 2 Greensboro alongside Mason Plumlee, alongside Jalen McDaniels, as they are out of the health and safety protocol. But as this team gets back to full strength, they did get Terry Rozier back last night. Before we get to the young guys and how the return of the other guys is going to impact them, what did you see from Terry Rozier in his first game back in a minute?
I saw a little bit of rust, which you expect from somebody who's been out, you know, for a week or so playing at this level in the NBA. But second half, he played much better. He had 20 points, which tied for the team high with Kelly Oubre. So it's got to be obviously a beneficial thing for the Hornets to be able to have Terry come back, find his rhythm in the second half, and kind of just know that he's going to be out there. You know, he's the one guy, the team leader. He's the lead dog. You know, he's the person kind of they look to kind of follow out there on the floor. So even though he didn't have a great first half, again, he had a good second half, and you can see that he's going to be okay. You know, he thought that he would have a little bit less win than he had last night, he told me, but he felt good after the game. Now he's ready to go tomorrow in San Antonio. So he's one, again, the leader, and he says, essentially said last night that the first quarter was pitiful in their regard. So to come out tomorrow against the Spurs, he said you're going to see a different team in the first quarter, so we'll see if that happens or not.
Rod, a lot of people clamoring for the young fella, James Bouknight, the lottery pick that he is, coming off that game before this road trip started versus our Friday night versus Sacramento, where he dropped a career-high 24. 2 days later, Bouknight in what? I mean, I'm looking for those minutes. Aha, 23 minutes, a little bit more than 23 minutes. What'd you see from James Bouknight last night?
He was back in the rookie mode, but it wasn't anything that you would expect. I mean, you know, you're going to have up-and-down games when you're a first-year player, haven't had very many meaningful minutes out there on the floor. But the next question is, what happens to him when the rotation kind of gets back to what it was normally before everybody kind of got put in protocols? Because, as we know, there really was no spot for him in the rotation. When you look at your wing players in your backcourt, you got LaMelo, you got Terry Rozier, you throw Cody Martin up in there, and then JB would have at times, you know, Kelly Oubre playing shooting guard depending on who's in the lineup. So with that being the case, where is he going to get minutes from? So that to me is going to be the intriguing question now: is do the Hornets find a way to make Bouknight, you know, to give him some playing time? Because if they don't, that's going to be an issue because, you know, as you said, the fans, they're cramming for him. And you don't coach because of the fans. But if he's giving you a little bit of what he's giving you so far, you kind of could see that he kind of could help you out there offensively. You want to maybe see if you can give him some spot minutes sporadically. But even then, there's a development. So I just don't see them changing things up too much right now with Bouknight. But you want to be able to find him some time if you can because the guy got some skills for sure.
Rod, how has JT Thor's play as of recent? How does that change things when Mason Plumlee gets back and he's back in it? PJ Washington gets his reps at big, and how does that impact maybe Nick Richards' side of things?
Well, I think JT may be the odd man out, unfortunately, because as you mentioned, there's guys in front of him. Mason Plumlee's a starter. He's going to go back to starting as he has previously. He started five. Then, as you mentioned, you throw PJ up in there. He's the first guy off the bench, usually behind Kelly Oubre at times. And, you know, beyond that, who else, like you said, do you get playing time to? Nick Richards, you give him a little bit of burn, But the thing about JT that we like, if you're a Hornets fan, is you want to see him shoot the ball a little bit better. He has shot the ball okay so far, but that is part of his game that would expand his repertoire more, because if he can shoot the ball from three-point range and knock it down consistently, that gives him a different dimension that, you know, you add to his game. He's long, he's lanky, and, you know, he's a project. But you can see the raw talent is there. I'm just not sure minutes-wise where he gets them, because, it comes down to you know, wing players and kind of guys who are playing that tweener 3-4 spot. And at times we know that's McDaniels. He's out there playing a little bit at wing spot with his length and defensive prowess. So JT may be the odd man out right now. But again, the one beneficial thing about all these people being out for the Hornets is giving people like JT and Book Knight some playing time. So if they have to be called upon at some point due to an injury or something else, then they'll be ready.